And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to Revitalize and Replant. As always, we're sponsored by the North American Mission Board, North American Mission Board, and churchreplanters.com. More than 10% of churches in North America are at risk of closing. What I love about North American Mission Board, who affectionately call NAM, is they want to reverse this trend. They are reversing this trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches and also starting new churches, birthing them. To learn more about what it means to be a replanting pastor, get all the resources as well at replanting and revitalization, go to churchreplanters.com. Mark, we're going to talk about hope today, and you are considered by many the purveyor of hope in the North American church. So we're going to hear about this, and we're going to talk to these pastors. So here's the scenario. We've got many pastors who are coming out of the pandemic. And by the way, I was chastised by someone on social media for saying the post-pandemic, as if the disease is going away. I think most people know what I'm talking about, the time that we are more isolated and not able to go places. But the post-pandemic pastor, the pastor who's gone through this period where maybe the services were virtual, streamed, and now going back into the in-person gradually, methodically, we want to talk about why there's hope for these pastors. And I'll just kick it off and let you expound upon it. The first thing we're going to talk about is still Christ Church. He hadn't left the church.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's true with any church, no matter how difficult and how deep the hole is. Jesus has a plan for every church, and it's his church. It's not ours. And, you know, sometimes pastors really feel like I got to pick this thing up and carry it through this. And I understand the sense of responsibility that is. We have a responsibility for how we shepherd our members. The book of Hebrews says we're going to give account for those in our care. But it is his church. He has a plan for it. And he will reveal that plan as we listen to him and lean into him, and he will care for it. And I think there are many times we have to just do what he says, come unto him and take his yoke, because his burden's light. And sometimes we try to carry it all by ourselves and do it all by ourselves. All of us as pastors have done that. And that always leads us to a point of collapse at some point. And so just in all of this, none of this takes the Lord by surprise. You know he is sovereign in all things. He knew before the foundation of the world that the church would go through this. Your church would go through this. You would go through this. You know, it's a little bit like when the disciples see the multitudes coming and the thousands, you know, and what do they say? They tell Jesus, send them away. It's kind of like us, like, man, send this pandemic away. And Jesus turns to Philip and he said, well, where are you going to buy bread that these may eat? And I think that sort of implies that maybe daily Philip was buying the bread for the group, which he could handle, but this was something he couldn't handle. And so I would just say to pastors, this is like Jesus sort of turning to you, go, okay, your programs, your personalities, your buildings, all those things, your coffee shop in your church, your gathered worship, you can handle all that. Now, what do you do when none of that works anymore? And obviously, gospel writer John says he asked Philip this question because he himself knew what he would do. And so this is Christ's church. This doesn't take him by surprise. He knows what he's going to do. And just like he used that example for the disciples to show them that he can handle anything, he can handle this.
As we are listening to pastors and other church leaders, one thing that we're hearing consistently in the positive realm is the community is getting to know many of these churches better, because the community is turning into the streaming services as one example. There are other examples. So now there's a great hope, because the church has had this positive exposure now to the community, and there's an opportunity to reach, touch, minister, and evangelize the community perhaps better than ever, because they feel like they, the community, feel like they know the church.
And that the church is sort of in the world of the community. And let's be honest, the social media, the digital world is the community, and the church has been forced into the community. Before, we weren't really forced into doing it, but now we have to. And so that's put us right there front and center in the community. And it's so easy for people to, instead of saying to someone, hey, you know, Sunday morning, get up, put your nice clothes on, drive to a place you've never been before, park someplace, walk into one of 12 doors at our church, hope you go in the right one. You know, it's as easy to say, here's a link to my service last week. Here's a link to a message my pastor preached on anxiety. I think this might be helpful to you. You're absolutely right. It's been a way for the church to really move beyond the walls, literally. And I think the community understands that. It's also, Dr. Rainer, it's been on the news. It's every news channel, every local news channel in every city has talked about how churches are doing social media, church, you know, worship and that kind of thing. So the culture is more aware, absolutely, that this is the most important part of this, that the church believes their message is so powerfully important that they'll do whatever they can to get it out. And I think that's been a really good message for the world to hear.
What an opportunity. What an incredible opportunity to now start doing things in person as those opportunities avail themselves, to be able to touch church members in ministry ways that we have not done before. I told the story recently. In fact, I was in a conversation with Kevin earlier today. We were on an office call, and the party on the other end, it was kind of funny. He had a cat go in front of him, and I am going to make sense of the story, Mark, so just hang in there with me. He was at home, and a cat just goes right in front of him. He just picks up the cat and just, well, animal lovers, he didn't really throw him down, but just, you know, kind of tossed him so he could land on his feet. And it reminded me of a story that happened last week. A person in my neighborhood, I don't know if you know this, Mark, but I'm an introvert. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that to you.
It has come up a couple of times in each podcast, yes.
So I'm out in the neighborhood, and I'm getting to know my neighbors better. Been in this neighborhood for nearly 15 years, and shame on me, but you know, I'm talking to people I haven't talked to in a couple of years. And I see one of my neighbors, and the Harpeth River is behind my house, and so we have drains on our street where water flows into the Harpeth. Well, this neighbor has a cat, and he also has three dogs. And he was walking the three dogs, and the cat was following, and the wife said, "The cat's with you." And he said, "Okay." She said, "I don't know if that's wise for the cat to be with you." He said, "Oh, the cat will be fine. Come on." Well, the cat likes to go down drains and sometimes can't get back up. And the cat went down a drain. He called the wife and said, "Stupid cat's down the drain again." She said, "Go find the cat." Well, the way you find the cat is to go to each drain and start making cat noises to see if he responds. So when I'm walking, this is taking way too long. When I'm walking by this guy, he is sitting down on the curb, talking into a drain, going meow, meow. And the first thing I do is I pass him, and I said, "Is everything okay?" And of course, he looked up, kind of embarrassed. He told me the story, and he said, "I'm having to do this at every drain to see if the cat's down there." Well, sure enough, while I was there, the cat responded, and okay. So I sat down with him. And we're both sitting on the curb going, meow. The cat finally comes up, finally. So it was a good ending to the story. And I said, "You must really love this cat." And he said, "I hate the cat, but my wife told me I couldn't come home without the cat." I'm getting to know my neighbors. There's a point to this long story that probably took up way too much of the podcast, but you are getting to know your community better. And the realization is many pastors are probably getting out in the neighborhoods as well, and church members too.
Absolutely. All of us have. I mean, my old neighbors here, I talk to them more now than I did before the pandemic. Last night I went outside to put the trash out, and down the street from me, they had the little fire pit out, and there were some neighbors sitting social distancing around the fire pit. And so absolutely, we're going to come out of this, and we're going to understand more the importance of community, the importance of knowing our neighbors, and we're going to value that more than we did before. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Again, God's going to use these things in amazing ways to really draw us more to our community and let the community see us in a better and more different way, for sure. Like I said, I just want to reemphasize this. You know, when you look on the news and you see, you know, the secular news, you know, people doing drive-in churches and churches doing social media church and all of that, it does say to the lost and unchurched world, man, this thing must really be important to these people. I mean, they value it. They want to be there. They're not going to give it up. It's not like it's just sort of, well, it's a part of my life. I can take it or leave it. I think that the Lord's using that as a real testimony of the importance of the church and of the gospel in the lives of people.
Well, another good thing is happening is corporate prayer, church-based prayer, church members praying is growing more than ever, at least as we're seeing it on social media and other ways that it is being communicated. All of a sudden, more people are asking for prayer, more people are receptive to prayer. And by the way, there is power in prayer because it's God-centered and not human-centered. And we pastors should have great hope because many people in their churches and their community are now more receptive to prayer and see the power of prayer.
Oh, absolutely. And this has made us realize, and it's a good thing to say, well, we can't do anything else but pray. It's always terrible when we say that because it's the most important thing we can do. But in reality, when we can't gather together, we can't hold hands, we can't sing all in a group, we can't go to gathered worship, but it doesn't matter where we're scattered all around the globe, we can intercede with each other in prayer. Just like the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, he said, I pray for you without ceasing day and night. I mean, that's definitely redundant, but he's making a point here that it doesn't matter that he's locked away in a prison thousands of miles away from the believers. He knows through prayer, he is right there making intercession on their behalf. And I think we've all understood that. We may be isolated in our homes, unable to meet for gathered worship, but we still have this wonderful thing of prayer where we can appeal to the Father. And we all know the scripture is so powerfully true that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I just love the fact that prayer has not been affected. In fact, as you said, it's really been impacted in a positive way as we've worked more toward praying for one another, praying for first responders, praying for those who are dealing in the hospitals, praying for those who are recovering from illness, praying for those who've lost loved ones. You can go down your social media and you just all these opportunities to pray for people and hear how people have been prayed for. And there is nothing bad about that happening. That is all good in every possible way.
You've alluded to this. We'll bring it up as a fourth and separate point. The community likely recognizes the more today the importance of the local church. I'm thinking of Sam's Church in Bradenton, Florida. They weren't the only church to do this, but they're an example of it. They got how many cars to form a parade. It was absolutely incredible. And with permission from the city, they went by one of the two major hospitals in Bradenton. And they were just blowing their horns and banners and saying, thank you for your service. Thank you for how much you love this community. We love you. We're praying for you. Well, Mark, that doesn't happen most of the time. And no. Now it's happening during the pandemic. And people are saying, wow, these churches really care about us. The community is seeing more and more the importance of the local church. That will have momentum going out of the pandemic and into in-person services.
Today, my wife told me, she said, there's a really large mega Southern Baptist church near us. It's not the one we're a member of, but it's near us. I'll give you the name of it. It's Westside Family Church here in Lenexa. And she said they're having a food drive with 20 or 25 other churches from this part of our county of all denominations. And so she was going to go get some food until they take it there today. And it's just one of many ways. Not only are individual churches providing food to people who really are, some of them in desperate need right now, who've lost their jobs, lost their incomes, and so forth, but also churches working together. You know, the world always says, oh, how come you got all these different churches and you can't get along? Well, now in this pandemic, we've seen churches really come together, really work together to meet the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of the community. Just like masks. Remember, I know we don't have enough, you know, several weeks ago, especially, we didn't have enough of the really N95 masks. But now that everybody's supposed to wear some sort of face covering in most places where we go, you know, they said we need masks. Well, I don't know about you, but the churches that I'm aware of here in Kansas City, I mean, those ladies have gotten busy, and there are more masks out there than we could possibly use because they got with their sewing machines, they started making masks, and they're out there. And so I think the community has seen the church respond, and the church has responded in so many ways, which they do all the time, whether it's a disaster, a hurricane, flood, a tornado, those kinds of things. Some of the first people to show up, right, are people who love Jesus. They show up with their chainsaws to cut down trees after a tornado. They show up with fresh water after a hurricane to make sure people have something to drink. They show up with meal trucks to make sure first responders are taken care of. And so, again, it's just a wonderful way in the midst of what is a very difficult and challenging time for the community to see the church really does care about the world.
I like the mask. Not only do they have medicinal positive effects, but they cover my face.
I've heard other people say they like it when you wear a mask, so that's good.
And now I can wear a mask without scaring the kids because it's pretty well accepted. Reminds me, my renewed driver's license came in the mail today. I think Tennessee does it 8 years at a time, and I just got it, so it's good for the next 8 years.
So is this be your last one, maybe? I don't know. Just ask. I'm asking for a friend.
Some people wish. I'm looking at my photo there, and you know, they think that's the first photo I ever had when I moved to Nashville about 16 or 17 years ago. It had to be early because I had on a suit. I was wearing it. Nellie Jo looks at my photo and she says, "You're not going to get past TSA with this photo." You don't look like this anymore. I said, "I'll wear a mask." No. Fifth and final point on this. This is, to me, the most important. God sustained the church during the pandemic. It will be a reminder to all of us. He's not going away, and he is with us even in what we would deem the impossible times.
Isn't that true? I mean, doesn't our generation need to know that? I mean, you know, my parents' generation understood that God was with them when they were children through the Depression. And they would, even though my mom and dad were like school-age children in the Depression, they would tell me about how that God sustained their family, sustained their churches through those years of Depression. And then they were obviously went to the Second World War, and they understood how God sustained them through that. You know, we've been through some things in our lifetime, Tom, you and I, of the Vietnam War and some really difficult, challenging times in our nation. But nothing quite exact, of course, nothing like this. This is very unique. When churches can't meet, you can't be together, all those kinds of things. And we're to come out of this, and we're going to see that it doesn't matter what happens. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. He who began this good work in you will see it through to completion, regardless of a pandemic, regardless of an economic depression, regardless of war or famine. Nothing is going to stop the church. And I think one of the things that will come out, too, is we'll understand, you know, we just focus on the stuff that's mission critical. And a lot of the stuff we thought was really important as church is really not important at all. And I think that'll help us a lot. We'll be able to relieve ourselves from a lot of baggage we were carrying around that really wasn't important to the mission of the church. And we'll focus, I think, on those things that are mission critical coming forward. It'll make us more lean. It'll make us more agile in the future. And hopefully it'll make us more adaptable to change when it comes. And we'll realize we've got to be adaptable, because even though we come out of this pandemic, nobody knew this was really coming, obviously.
No way.
And so we don't know what's coming in the next 6 months. And for anybody other than someone who is a follower of Jesus, it's a very panicked time to live. But for those of us who are his children, he knows what's going to happen. And he'll bring his church through this. And whatever comes in the fall, he'll bring her through that. And whatever comes next year, he'll bring her through that. And then one day, that eastern sky is going to open and he's going to come back for her. And that we know, and we can be joyful and rest in that.
Well, we had five reasons pastors should have hope in the post-pandemic era. It is still Christ Church, number one. Number two, your community is likely to get to know you better because of live streaming exposure, just because of getting to know neighbors. Prayer ministries are growing during this pandemic. The community is recognizing more today the importance of the local church. And the big one, God sustained the church during the pandemic, and it is very clear he is not going away. And I think Mark really added a bonus to the five. We have learned in our local churches what is important and what is not so important. And therefore, we can get lean, we can get agile, and we can focus upon those things that really, really matter. So, Pastor, I know that you've been through a lot. I know that you're still going through a lot. You're still may have questions, and you're still wondering what this world is going to look like on the other side. Just a reminder on this, the God who is on one side is the same God who's on the other side, and he's above, to use Francis Schaeffer's word, time and space. And so he's got you in this, and he will continue to hold you. Mark, one question before we go. How have you held up in this kind of isolation mode during the pandemic?
In all transparency, it depends on what day you ask me. There are some days I do quite well. There are some days I'm anxious. I'm not sleeping well. I'm not eating well. I'm not resting well. I miss my grandchildren and my children very much. I miss the normalcy of life very much. I'm fortunate to be employed, to have a wonderful wife who loves me, for us to live in a house big enough that we can each get to our separate parts of it sometimes and have a little space. I think of those poor folks in New York crammed in 800 square foot apartments, and at least we can go to different floors here. But, so I have a lot to be thankful for, obviously. But even in the midst of all of that, I find myself at times sort of battling anxiety and battling some depression in a very real way. I'm just be frank about it. I wish things were like they used to be. I mean, isn't that just normal human nature? We just, anything that's different, we don't like. And so that's when you have to go and say, well, what is the same? Well, the same, truthfully, is Christ. It's Calvary. It's his plan for me. It's his love for me. And so, frankly, I'm going to tell you what I do. And this may not work for everybody. In fact, it wouldn't work for most people. But this is something I have done consistently in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I put in my headphones, my iPod headphones, and I listen to some really old school hymns and gospel music that take me back really to my childhood, seriously. And I can sit there and I can listen to those and I can say, you know what? This world's been through so much and the gospel has sustained everybody and it will sustain me. And in a world that's constantly changing, there are some things that are absolutely the same. And when I listen to that music that is very familiar to me and very gospel centered, it brings me back to a really good place. So that's kind of how I've been dealing with some of this. And then everybody has a different way the Lord uses to help them deal with it. That's how he's been dealing with me. Because frankly, as I said, some days I've been quite anxious and quite uncomfortable and trying to figure out what all this means. And I'm just going to be honest with you about that.
I appreciate that transparency. I'll just end it on a lighter note. Because yours is very profound. You know, I've been here, not around people, sitting at my desk, working 18 hours a day. And I asked, my wife mentioned to me this morning, she said, you know, I've done okay during the pandemic. It's really been different, but I've seen some of the benefit. And I just kind of affirmed her. I said, yeah, I have too. She said, nothing's changed with you. There she is, right. Thank you, as always, listeners on Revitalize and Replant. Thank you always, North American Mission Board and ChurchReplanters.com, for being our long-term and faithful sponsor. Remember, pastors and all leaders and all church members who listen to this, you have hope because the Christ who formed you, the Christ who gave you salvation, is the Christ who will see you through that. And on that, we'll say thank you, and you keep growing healthy churches and replanting them.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.